When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mueller, She Wrote Media. I'm Kimberly Johnson in D.C., and I'm so excited. Today, my returning guest is Cliff Schechter. We have a lot to talk about, but before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, supported by listeners, and it's woman-run. A great big thank you to everybody who supports the show. If you enjoy today's podcast, visit patreon.com/startmeup. Check out all the tiers. I do include a tier with a much shorter intro and no ads. You can hear the free shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they're followed up by What's Up, a show just for patrons where I talk about anything that comes to mind. It's a little more personal, kind of like my online diary. Visit patreon.com/startmeup. And don't forget, you can find Start Me Up on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are found. Now please enjoy my conversation with Cliff Schechter. Welcome back to the show, Cliff.
Well, thank you, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm extremely well because you totally left Mary Trump to be on my show.
That's kind of cool, isn't it? Don't tell her that.
I love Mary. You know, she had asked Bob and me if we wanted to come on and do what you just did. I couldn't do it the last couple times, and I'm not sure about next week because it depends on when I do my podcast, but I'm ever so flattered, and again, I'm flattered that you're coming on my show after being on her show because she's so awesome.
You're pretty freaking awesome, too. So you can try to deny it, but, like, you know, like, I've seen all the old modeling pictures and, like, you as the starlet in Hollywood. I don't know why.
Well, I really wasn't.
Why you didn't turn into the next Sharon Stone, I don't know.
You know, I was curious. I was curious about that. But thank you. But you know what? Part of the reason I put those things up, I was never a model. But I was an actor, and I worked on Days of Our Lives, and I got some roles that were minor. But I put them up now because I spent so much fucking money on those pictures, and I bought so many of them, and most of them are in the trash now. So it's like, at least
they're
somewhere.
It's like, you know, I do this stuff now where, you know, I got a producer credit on a film that Harry Lennox was in. Long story, they wanted me to do the PR because it had a political theme to it, like it had to do with terrorism and this sort of stuff back in 2014-15. If you know who Harry Lennox is from, he's the star of the show The Blacklist now, that's been on for like 8 or 9 years, but he's also, okay, you know, he plays the general in Batman versus Superman and all those movies. He was in the Matrix movies and all that kind of stuff. He's been around for a while, and you know, like, here and there, I'll just throw that out there because it's like, you know, am I allowed to curse on this, by the way?
Oh, of fucking course you are.
Okay, good. Because I was like, holy fuck. Like, you know, I need to get an IMDb at some point. Like, I got an executive producer credit for a movie. Or, you know, I wrote a book that was a bestseller. And, you know, these are things I'm not bragging. I'm just like, but fuck. I did these things way back when I was younger and when I kind of like what you were doing when you were trying to act. And I was much more... at that time, you know, for me, we're similar age, I know. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I wasn't worried about, hey, how am I going to send my kids to school and make sure, like, they're wearing clothing and eating and stuff. I just was like, can I write the coolest zinger line? And can I, you know, like, that's why I'm so happy now to kind of be getting back and doing, you know, this thing that I'll plug too many times, my YouTube show, because I get to be me. You know what I mean? Like, this is the first time, like, I, in a long time, because I was doing all these debates on MSNBC and places mm-hmm. and having fun and getting screen tested for CNN and, you know, believe it or not, hired by the Sinclair Network, which was hilarious to be the Democrat. They didn't rehire me after 1 year because I wasn't the pushover Democrat right. they wanted. I'd come on and just beat the shit out of the Republicans. I mean, I don't mean to brag, but like I had fun doing it, like yeah. ripping them apart. And they're like, yeah, we want a patsy. My point being, like, you know, that was the direction my life was headed in.
Yeah.
And then I met my wife, who I will never regret, who I love, and she's from Cincinnati, where I now live. And we wanted to raise kids somewhere, and I put the kids first, and I'll never regret that
right.
either. So, but I got to pull out the old stuff here and there, just because.
Yeah,
so
every once
it.
In a
you
while.
Gotta, you got to get those pictures out. And you got to, like, whatever roles that you landed, you should be throwing that stuff around and, like, you know. Be proud.
Yeah, because no one else is, so I might as well do it.
That's what I'm saying. We're our own PR people. We have to.
Exactly.
Nobody else is out there like, hey, Cliff wrote a best-selling book. Nobody fucking... I mean, it's funny. It came up recently for the first time in a long time because of the whole thing, the whole Steve Schmidt,
mm-hmm.
You know, like the whole
the
thing,
meltdown,
the whole kind
yeah.
of like thread he went on ripping Meghan McCain, but then
right.
And I know... You have your differences with the Lincoln Project, and that's fine. And like, I'm not even getting into any of that stuff. I just made the point at the time because I know I'm friendly with Sherry Jacobus.
Mm-hmm.
She obviously has serious issues with them too, whatever. Some of them, like their former ED, I will defend Fred Wellman, who's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Yeah.
He's a very good dude.
Yeah.
I don't know Steve Schmidt at all. Like, literally, I've never been in a room with him. But the stuff, when he finally decided to share, it was almost like, you know, the heavens opened, and it was like
mm-hmm.
all the shit that I was saying in my book
right.
that they all got together and denied and called me names
mm-hmm.
and I was a liar and unstable and, you know, all the things which I didn't mind. I mean, I kind of find it funny. It was just more getting my message out about who McCain really was.
Yeah.
Like, now, finally, Steve Schmidt's out there saying all the shit I was saying, and so it kind of the book came back up, and I jumped into his thing, and I was like, look, I'm not jumping in on I don't know Steve Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know anything beyond like the McCain stuff. He's not a friend of mine. We've never met in person. All true. But I was like, what he's saying about McCain right now is true. Because
mm-hmm.
this is all the stuff I found and put in this book that, even though, you know, it hit an Amazon bestseller list, still, like, the media mostly refused to report on.
Of course.
You
of
know?
Course. Yeah. That's so,
so
annoying.
It was a long way of saying, like, hey, you and I have done some shit in the past, and I don't think we should be ashamed of it.
Absolutely. And you know what? Since you brought it up, I think everybody needs to go over to YouTube and find your... What is the name of your YouTube channel? Is it just your name?
So it's The Takedown with Cliff Schechter.
Okay.
Because I like taking these fuckers down. I really concentrate on the evil people that are hurting our society. And the easy, I'll give the people the easy sort of... URL. It's just www.youtube.com/, and then it's my first initial, C as in Cliff, and my last name, Schechter, spelled S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. And I love it. It gives me this freewheeling opportunity to do exactly what I want, say what I want, joke when I feel necessary, be serious about stuff, kind of, because my personality is always kind of a mixture of those things. There are times that I just... There are things that I find funny, and
yeah.
there are times I want to be serious. And this lets me do that in these 3 to 5 minute or 7 minute or whatever
yeah.
commentaries. And, you know, I'm really excited at this point. Like, who the hell ever knows, right? But I started, you know, it was like a YouTube channel that existed, like, to put up a couple client videos since 2010. I'd maybe put up 2 videos. It had, like, 32 people or something subscribed. And we're at 2,500 now,
all
5 weeks
right.
later. So, you know what? I'm assuming that means somebody likes it, and hopefully it'll keep growing.
Well, your
That's
takedowns are definitely epic, and I want to remind people, go over to his YouTube channel and hit subscribe, but also hit the bell icon, because, and I know this because I have, you know, channels that I love to, every time there's new content, when you hit the bell, it reminds you, you'll get a notification on YouTube that there's new content, so... Make sure to hit that. I don't have a YouTube. Well, I do have a YouTube channel, but I don't use it for anything. In fact, I took a lot of the videos that I had down because I just didn't give a shit about them anymore. I talked about feminism. I think there was one time people were fighting on my Facebook page back when I had my old page before the one Mark Zuckerberg and his stupid friends took down. Oh my God, I was like, I would make a joke. I'll post a picture of a puppy and a fight would break out. So I had a very thriving, engaged page. And
I mean, in any case, it's all up to you what you want to do. But I obviously, with you, you know, you're good in front of a camera. You're articulate and smart, and you've got sort of passion and sense of humor. So I don't see why you wouldn't do really well if that's what you wanted to do. You know,
I guess. I'm at the age now. I'm going to be 54 in July, like in almost a month from today. It's 17th, July 17th.
Congratulations.
And I'm happy to know. I don't ever want to be on camera again, but unless I'm in control, and I like the selfies are great because then you get to choose the one you like. As opposed to someone else choosing the one that you're like, no, not that one. Because everybody always says, do you take a bad picture? It's like, of course I take a bad picture. I just don't post them. So,
yeah, it's funny how I do that too, because, like, you know, I had to get these professional, you know, headshots to do like the CNN stuff and the Sinclair stuff. You know, and people build up your ego, and they're like, "Oh, you look good here. You look great there," and you know, whatever. And then I start looking at myself. I joined you in the North of 50 Club a couple. Well, actually, it's not even a couple of months ago. It's about 4 months ago now. And I'm happy about it. I keep in shape and all that. But obviously, we age. Like, I don't look like, you know. It's funny because we're adding content to this channel. We purposely, you know, there are these videos lying around of like debates on MSNBC and stuff, and we put them up, and it's just like, holy shit. You know, because some of them were between 2006, 2009, right, when I was in my mid-30s. Mm-hmm. I don't look like I'm in my mid-30s anymore, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I know. But, well, I mean, it's a weird thing, and you know, it's funny. I think when I turn, and we will get to politics in a minute for those who are listening, just, you know, gotta go through this chat, but when I turned 40, it was not something that I chased after, but all of a sudden I got real nostalgic. I just started having memories of younger days, and it's not even that I was missing them, but just kind of remembering them. And it's also hitting me kind of hard right now. I think part of the reason I'm feeling certain nostalgia is just because of the, you know, current political climate. I certainly didn't think we would be here. I knew we were in bad shape when George W. Bush was announced, the SCOTUS announced that he was the president and decided that. I understood that that was problematic, but I didn't know we would be in this particular position. So I think I go back to my younger self.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't mean to interrupt you. You go ahead.
No, no, no. I was just like, going to say, I go back.
Nobody could have predicted getting here.
Right.
It's like been a comedy of error. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been sort of, and I guess this is a good way of transitioning to politics, because it's funny. I was, and funny, like ironic, not funny, funny, trust me. I've said like many times, if I were to write my alternative history, you know, it would be like, did you ever see Back to the Future?
Of course.
Right. So I don't know if you remember, like, when Marty realizes he has got to get his dad to pull him up with his mom, or he's never going to exist. In the middle of the night, he knows his dad's a big fan of science fiction, and he shows up in his bedroom with this weird outfit on, and he's like, I'm Darth Vader from the planet Vulcan, and he keeps playing this heavy metal into his ears and telling him that he better fall in love with Lorraine. Like, in my alternative history, that's what we do to Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yes. Right,
because she was the fifth vote. I mean, when you think about how, you know, and this is the painful thing always, when you sometimes see, like, you know, societies fall apart, and you're like, if just that one thing had gone differently. And she had just, because she later said she regretted it, and she did not realize how radical Bush was going to become and all of them. But frankly, I don't give a shit. She should have been making a decision based upon the fucking law.
Right.
And not based upon how radical. And in the end, the law said they should have counted every goddamn vote in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to, and neither did. And so Sandra Day O'Connor became that fifth vote. And I mean, there's simply no, you know, doubt that obviously there was the interregnum of Obama, who helped bring us back to a certain degree, but even he could only do so much.
Yeah.
Even with big Democratic majorities, like, we have been on this downslide, you know, ever since they stole that election in 2000. I mean, and Al Gore, for Al Gore's faults, and that, you know, I actually worked, I did PR for one of his organizations, Alliance for Climate Protection. He can be difficult. He can be this and that. I don't think he's the best at building coalitions, because he could be a bit arrogant. But the thing is, when it came to knowing the science behind climate change, and it came to the guy that was a geek that would have sat there and studied every possible, like, of all those presidential briefings about terrorists attacking us, would he have prevented 9/11? Maybe not all of it, maybe some of it, maybe what, but he certainly, he certainly would have had a better chance of preventing it because he wouldn't fucking pay attention
right.
about clearing brush on his fake ranch, you know, and he wouldn't have responded by taking us into Iraq.
Yeah,
and like it's just been downhill since then, right? And again, I don't mean, obviously, you know, Obama brought us back to a certain degree, got us the ACA, and among other things, Biden has brought us back to a certain degree. But it's been like everything has been undoing the shit they've done.
Yeah,
we've spent so much time undoing their garbage, you know, and so much time fighting them from not doing more. That's how we got to this point. And so there you go. There's my alternative history. If somebody doesn't seem to want to steal it, go for it, because I'll probably never get around to writing it. But if I do someday, that's what it is I scare the fuck out of Sandra Day O'Connor and she does the right thing.
Oh, that would
or I go
so,
and I tell
yeah.
Kennedy that I know his son is laundering money at Deutsche Bank for Trump.
Right.
And he better fucking vote differently. I know that's another angle.
Okay, so going with the politics thing, obviously you were just on Mary Trump's show and you were watching the hearings. Now, I watched the hearings up until we started talking. I just want to know what your takeaways are from the totality so far, from the first night all the way up until what you've seen today.
I want to say that I'm surprised, but no. I mean, I'm only surprised at the breadth of this plot.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, cynical me, you know, suspicious of the right, not stupid fucking, and I'm just gonna, sorry, you know, this is me.
I say fucking all the time.
Stupid fucking New York Times reporter who's like, well, I can't believe they would do that. I can believe they would do that.
Right, yeah.
But even me, who believes that they could do the things they could do, that like, you know, that some of these institutionalists, so, you know, quote unquote, these people that have been around for a while, like that Chuck Grassley.
Yeah.
You know, as Heather Cox Richardson, who I think most people respect as she's got the biggest Substack in the land, but that doesn't decide how good you are because Glenn Greenwald has a big one. He's a fucking picking up teenagers on the beach fraud. But, you know, like, I mean, she's a brilliant historian, and she tweeted out something the other day, like, it still keeps me awake at night, you know, the fact that Grassley tweeted that out. Like, what did he know about the fact that he didn't expect Mike Pence to be there, and the fact that this guy who had been serving in the Senate since the fucking 70s, since like literally when I was born, you know, was somebody who got co-opted by these people. Maybe because he's older, he doesn't have all his faculties, but like, isn't this just new? I remember saying that about Orrin Hatch when he was enabling Trump. Like, isn't just this new group of younger, like, evil right wingers, like these people that were supposed to, who were long time supposedly stewards of the Senate and our democracy, betrayed us too.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if Grassley wasn't 100% in on the plot, even if he mostly wasn't in on the plot,
right? Yeah,
he obviously had an idea that for whatever reason Pence wasn't going to be there, and that's never happened in our history before. That should have been a problem for him. You know, he should have just been blithely tweeting out, "Oh yeah, I'll take care of it." You know, that's not the way this should work.
Yeah.
And that's what gets me here. These, like, long-time people that have been involved in Republican politics who just, when fascism came knocking at their door, if it offered enough power and money, they just sort of shrugged and went with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what gets me about where we are, you know? And so that's what these hearings, because, you know, some of these people are... You know, preeminent lawyers at firms that were respected. You know, I'm not sure how respected or not respected Eastman was before, but like, you know, I always knew that Clarence Thomas had no business being anywhere near the Supreme Court. Clearly, he sexually harassed Anita Hill. Clearly, she didn't make up stuff about a pubic hair on a Coke. That's a pretty specific thing for some weird fucking asshole to say to you at work.
Yeah,
you know, like. Clearly, she didn't make up this guy. I know because I lived in DuPont Circle, the porn store the guy used to go to and rent his porn when he referred, you know, and nothing wrong with that. He can rent all the damn porn he wants, but he doesn't have a right to come into work and start telling his female colleagues he's long done silver. You know, like, that is not somebody that should be on the Supreme Court.
No.
And clearly, he's always been this travesty on our court.
Yeah.
and easily the worst part of George H.W. Bush's legacy, who was the last Republican, I would say, who did anything good. You know, I mean, I still overall would criticize the hell out of his presidency, but at least a few good things. And yet, like, who knew? I didn't know, I have to admit, that his wife is like three times more batshit than him and behind the scenes until all this came out, what she's been doing. Like, we have these two seditionists embedded in, like, the movement, the conservative movement, the Republican, whatever you want to call it, on the right, these two seditionists, one of whom, you know, has all these contacts and can text people like Mark Meadows and email people like John Eastman and call legislators in Arizona, 29 of them, email them, call them and tell them to overturn the fucking election, while her husband sits on the Supreme Court and covers up for her.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally think every decision this asshole has ever made is illegitimate.
100%. And what do you think as far as... the outcome? I mean, I don't know what to expect for the last one. The last one is on the 23rd. I think it's on the 23rd, and it's going to be on prime time. So it's going to be a week from tonight at 8 o'clock. At least that's what the schedule says. So I imagine they're going to have something pretty special for that last night.
I mean, you know, like if you're putting together any kind of, I don't mean to be facetious, but you're putting together any kind of production.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, you open with a bang and you close with an even bigger one.
Exactly, like, yeah. Yeah, so, and today...
I mean, what is it? I don't know, you know, I don't know yet, but I mean, we've already seen, like, they've released, obviously, these images of this Representative Loudermilk, you know, taking people on this tour where they were taking pictures. I mean, as some of the prosecutors and those who were there, you know, for the impeachment said, these were the private areas, these were the sort of secure areas that we would use, where we would go to be, that most people don't know about. We've been hearing this for a long time. How the fuck would these people know about these places? Why were they taking pictures of them? Why are they taking pictures of security checkpoints? You know, and then we get this 1776 manifesto, the Proud Boys put together. I mean, these guys were going to do what they did in Oregon at that life wildlife preserve and you know, some of these other places. They literally were going to take over multiple Capitol buildings. That was their plan. They would have, who knows how many people they would have murdered. They might have held... like literally mock hearings, like we're in like Stalin's Russia way back when, and hung people on camera, or compare it to ISIS. You know, I mean, that's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
And if, you know, a whole shitload of people from this entire organization, these probably were, but every single person in close contact with them who had any idea what they're up to, and I don't care if that's half of Congress, doesn't go to prison. And let me be clear, that half of Congress, of course, would be the Republican half. Then, you know, we don't deserve the democracy we have.
Yeah. No, I know, but yes and no. I mean, I get it. More people, half of us don't even vote. And so shame on those people. But, you know, I used to be one of them when I was younger. I did vote for Bill Clinton. So that puts me at, what, 93? So I was like 20, I don't know, 24, 25 years old. That's fairly early, I guess. But
it wasn't. It is in our society.
It is in our society.
Especially back then when we weren't making the thing of it.
Yeah.
That we're making now.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't the fear of when Republicans take over, they'll never give it back, which is what we've got now. I mean, I mean, I've been seeing all these calls for Liz Cheney. I don't know. The liberals are starting. Some of these liberals out there are pissing me off because they're like, Ann Coulter says one thing against Dinesh D'Souza and they're praising her. And, you know, Liz Cheney absolutely deserves all the props in the world for what she's doing. But no, liberals should not be supporting her for president. I mean, I can understand the idea of wanting her to run, because if she were to win, like, I would assume if Mitt Romney or Liz Cheney were to run for president and then they got defeated, they would do what every other president, you know.
And if they won, they would enact terrible policies.
Of course,
but
yeah.
They at least would not, I assume, become fascist dictators and overthrow the republic. So I get that, too.
Right.
But... I mean, if you want my take on it, I mean, I never get this. And you, of course, look, Twitter is Twitter, right?
I know.
Like, people who are like, oh, you love Liz Cheney now. And I'm like, listen, fucker.
I know.
Why don't don't you pay attention to what I say?
Yeah, I know.
As opposed to, I have never, you know, like, I believe in nuance and mm-hmm. context, and I believe that you can actually hold a couple thoughts in your head at the same time. I can think Liz Cheney's support for the Iraq war was fucking nothing but evil, and yet be incredibly appreciative of what she's doing right mm-hmm. now to protect our democracy. I will unite with her. I will unite with anybody to protect our democracy right now.
Yeah.
And I can still think that they're bad people, mm-hmm. or I can think they're good people who have shitty policies most of the time, or all of that stuff. But like, none of them, I guess that's because, like, I'm a big believer in, you don't create heroes. Yeah. You know what I mean? These are politicians. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not getting married. I'm picking the person who best supports my values and putting them in office.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, like, these people where it becomes, it's not as dangerous as it is on the right, mm-hmm. but it happens on the left too, this hero worship. There was, there was some of it from Bernie. There was mm-hmm. some of it in sort of, what was the group? Kamala Harris's group on Twitter.
Oh, right, yeah.
Whatever it was called. Like, I don't do any of that stuff because, again, this isn't about the individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this is about our democracy. This is about policies that, when enacted, help more people. So, yeah, I just did a video for my YouTube channel on, it was more kind of because I thought it would be fun, on the whole, like, brouhaha between Ann Coulter and Dinesh D'Souza and, you know, Mark Levin. Mm-hmm. And it's because I can rip into all three of them and point out where, and I started by pointing out that, you know, she was the person who literally was, like, trying to get every, like, picture of Bill Clinton's penis shared everywhere. Ann Coulter during impeachment was awful. She was the one insulting the wives of the 9/11 wives mm-hmm. and almost coming out and saying that they were asking for, they're happy their husbands were dead. So I didn't go into this saying Ann Coulter is wonderful.
Right.
I'm just saying Ann Coulter is a fucking awful person, but you know what? She's right about this.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You can do that. You can actually have two thoughts in your head at the same time. Like, I just don't get people where it's like, no, you can't say anything nice about Ann Coulter. Well, yeah, I fucking can when she's saying the right thing. And then I can still, you know, still put the context out there that, oh, by the way, that doesn't mean I'm an Ann Coulter fan. I think she's a fucking evil, awful, horrible person. But, like, you know, evil, awful, horrible people have done things that have saved democracies before. Like, any person willing to oppose Donald Trump, any person mm-hmm. willing to oppose, you know, Dinesh D'Souza's bullshit made-up, you know, stupid film, which I think she called it stupid and a grift and all this other stuff about, you know, that shows no evidence of election fraud when 60 plus, you know, investigations have all shown there was mm-hmm. none, or, you know, none that would have changed the result. And the few cases we've been able to find are Republicans. It's like Mark Meadows and Glenn Youngkin's son and people like that who committed election fraud. And so if she wants to point out what other bullshit that is, why would I not, like, want to amplify that?
And then the other thing about that is that when you have somebody like Liz Cheney, when you have these people who are well-known right-wingers calling out other right-wingers, that's got so much weight to it. When, you know, a liberal doing it, it's expected. But, you know, and of course we know, like, MAGA base will just refer to them as rhinos or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Because the point is you've got one right-winger calling out another right-winger, and it's just like the Republicans love it when we do it. When we go after each other, they jump on it.
When Joe Manchin acts like an asshole and your point is right, like, the MAGA base may be like, oh, rhinos, but, mm-hmm. but that's not our target audience.
No, it isn't, no.
Like, they're crazy people.
Yeah.
They're never voting for any of our folks.
No.
Like, what we're going for is sort of what you would call in you know, politics, PR, whatever, a permission structure
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people who voted Republican a lot or their entire lives, and they get this cognitive dissonance of where they're like, you know, they almost have to accept by not voting Republican now that they've been voting the wrong way and doing bad shit their entire
mm-hmm.
lives. So it's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And we have to create this permission structure that says, you know what, Liz Cheney's come to that conclusion,
mm-hmm.
Ann Coulter's come to that conclusion. And here are people come to the conclusion that these guys are lying and they're awful. And, you know, don't listen to me, listen to them.
Yeah.
Listen to, you know, you want to listen to Sherry Jacobus or Steve Schmidt?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, I used to debate Sherry Jacobus, and my God, what we would say to each other on Fox News back in, like, 2009. You know? but, at this point, you know, anybody who wants to join in sort of a movement mm-hmm. To defeat fascists and do whatever we can to kind of reset American democracy so that we have, you know, a center left and a center right,
yeah.
and, you know, a coalition with the left and the right arguing over actual policy and not whether it will be a democracy. And so sometimes I won't get what I want. Sometimes
yeah,
I'll
exactly.
get 70%
yeah.
of what I want.
Right.
Sometimes I'll get 30% of what I want. But that's what democracy is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the alternative is authoritarianism. Then you get 100% of what you want one day. And 0% the next day when you're on the chopping block.
Exactly. And then, you know, but I also just want to point out, I mean, as far as like the Lincoln Project or any of these people, you know, I mean, I've had some of these people on. I mean, Fred Willman, I do really like a lot. But, you know, I've had Joe Walsh on. Joe Walsh and I debated about abortion. And I've got to say, one of the things that he said to me, and I mean, I like Joe Walsh. I understand that he's coming from a place that he wants to save democracy. And we so completely disagree so much. And, you know, he yeah. said something about if he had a kid, if he had a daughter that was impregnated, you know, that he would force her to have the pregnant or to go through with the pregnancy. And I can't deal with that. Like, there are other things. He also talks about the gun issue, and it drives me nuts.
Trust me, on that one, he and I have had it out a number
yes,
of times.
Yes, and it's like, so I totally, but I can see where, you know, he's doing what he feels in his heart. And I think that's important because he is coming from a place of, like, soul as opposed to just political interest. And,
right,
and
well,
I appreciate that.
We've been fighting with him over this stuff in a working democracy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the thing in that book. I go back to this a lot, the book written by the two political science professors, Zeidlat and Levitsky, I believe are the two names, How Democracies Die.
Mm-hmm.
And they did studies all over the world. And whenever, like, somebody who's on, like, the far left, and I'm like, oh, you're willing to work with anybody, I'm like, yeah, I fucking am.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to work with when you're in a concentration camp?
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
right.
I mean, because the point these guys made in their book is that they've studied they've studied countries across the world that were democracies, and the ones that defeated authoritarian movements and the ones that succumbed. And the common feature was the ones that defeated authoritarian movements were the ones where everybody united together
mm-hmm.
against them, from far
yeah.
right to far left. Everybody, no matter what their policy preferences were, who believed in having a democracy, that's where they defeated them. The ones where all these groups kept
right.
infighting and didn't unite against them, that's where they took over.
And
so,
there,
you know, like,
yeah.
that's where I am.
And there's a way that we could do it where, like, I'm not the biggest fan of the Lincoln Project, but the way I feel, I mean, I could see some of the things Rick Wilson, who I'm not a fan of at all, and he's attacked me many times, and I've actually retweeted him after he's attacked me because ultimately I don't give a shit, but, you know, I don't give a shit what he thinks of me, but, you know, and every once in a while he has a point to make. But my issue is don't give them money. You could support them. You could share their videos. You can appreciate their message. But give the money to Democratic candidates who need it. Because,
which is, yeah.
Yeah, making,
totally,
you know.
I mean, that's and there's no, like, inconsistency in that
yeah,
message.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I see messaging from the Lincoln Project that I'm totally on board with. But I'm just, you know, I'm not going to give them my fucking money because Steve Schmidt doesn't need another kitchen. He's got like 100 of them, so he doesn't need another one.
I mean, then maybe get him a gym.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not making a personal comment looking at him, but if he's got 100 kitchens, he's going to have some challenges.
You know, he's always in his different kitchen, though. When he's like on MSNBC, he's in some other kitchen. So it's like, the guy's got money. He doesn't need any more. He doesn't need
shit,
money
man.
From fucking Democrats.
Everybody give to the Cliff Schechter Fund. I need a second kitchen. I only
have one.
And I now,
only have one,
too. Frankly, I was okay with that until Kimberly brought this up, and now I gotta be honest. Like, I'm feeling like a little bit, like, a little insecure, you know? It's a little bit like the size of my kitchen. It's small. I'm just having fun. Point being, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I do not care. I will work with anybody
yeah.
who will, in good faith, fight fascists, and some of them may even be, as you said, like, some of them may be a little grifty on what they do. I don't have to support their fundraisers,
right?
But if they make good points, ripping the right apart, if they share scoops and stuff that's going to hurt people on the right who are doing bad things, when I say hurt, I mean politically,
right,
violently, then I'm going to support it.
Yeah,
because I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, and like, I want them to grow up in goddamn democracy. It shouldn't be too much for me to ask, honestly. is that I don't have to like say, all right, guys, it's right. time to go to New Zealand or Portugal or, you know, wherever, because we can no longer live as normal humans in this country.
Yeah, I know. That's a thought that I have too frequently, and I don't like it. You know, I want to ask you real quick about Lauren Boebert, because we know that there's this, like...
Sorry.
I know.
I can't hear her name. It's not even just because of, you know, of, like, the, you know, of the most recent
right.
stuff. I was laughing because I put out a video on her. I did one of those YouTube videos where I was like, this whole thing came out about her car crash.
Oh, right,
like,
yeah.
Nothing can come out worse than that in her, and then, like, the next day.
No, well, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
You crashed and left your fucking... And this has been in the Daily Beast and yeah. other publications, even though, of course, the New York Times and others will not touch it because... And don't get me started on them. But enough mainstream publications have grabbed it because there's plenty of evidence. Mm-hmm. And my guess is the former sister-in-law who was in the car was talking. I mean, she was off-roading in Utah. It's 2 weeks before a primary. She crashes her fucking car. God, she's such trash. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just have to say that. Mm-hmm. Like, the thought... You know, like, you would have to, I mean, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm, like, some amazing guy. I would think this is the way most parents would be. You'd have to put a bullet through my head before you could make me ditch my kid
mm-hmm.
in a car that I had just crashed.
Yeah.
You'd have to kill me to get me to, I mean, any parent
mm-hmm.
would crash a car and think, oh my God, my primary is in 2 weeks. I can't get caught here.
Right.
Run away while their son and their dog are in the car, and their sister-in-law apparently is in enough distress that I think she had to go to a hospital.
Wow.
And you know, and but of course now it's a former sister-in-law, so mm-hmm. my guess is that's where the info's coming from. Mm-hmm. And like, that should have been enough. I did a video on that. I'm like, oh my God, like, how horrible is this woman? And of course, the next day it's like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, she was a high class call girl for that. And so if you're asking me what I think about all of that stuff, which I think that's what you're asking me, if you're not,
actually what I was going to say is it appears that it's the same pack going after her that went after Cawthorne, and they said they were, I have notes here, and I wrote, it came out as Hawthorne. It auto-corrected to Hawthorne, and I'm like, huh?
He's a dick, call him whatever you want.
But I mean, the first thing we saw was Madison in some lingerie. You know, this pack put out pictures of Madison in lingerie, and okay, there was that. And then, you know, the finale was naked Madison humping his cousin's face. And then he lost his primary. So
that was fun.
Yeah, so they I'm wondering if they're if with Lauren, what is going to be their end game with her? If they're going to slow drip all this information, you know, the information that she was and I do I believe this is true? I don't know if this is true. This is what somebody put out. So we don't know.
If you know it's true, and if it's you believe it's true. I do not know it's true. I believe it's true.
Okay.
And the reason I believe it's true is beyond everything else. I believe it's true because, as I've said many times before, it's kind of like, did Donald Trump, was he involved in the sedition? Yes, because mm-hmm. Because as somebody, you know, who at one point thought I was going to go into psychology, and I don't even think you need to be that, but I studied all of that. People are creatures of habit. We have psychological patterns. We have mm-hmm. things we do, you know, over and over again. You know, we're either the types of people that are dishonest in certain situations or we're not, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only this pattern of, you know, ditching the kid in the car mm-hmm. and all the other things, clearly the law, she's gotten arrested numerous times, traffic violations, kids who are drinking underage at a concert who she's got a fight with a cop because they wanted to cite them, ended up getting arrested. Her husband pulling out his junk to the underage girls mm-hmm. at a bowling alley. This was before she married him, by the way. She thought he was marryable after that.
Wow.
Like, she's just utter trash.
Yeah.
And she's in trouble for a number of campaign violations. She's being investigated for misusing funds. There's nothing honest about her. She's like Donald Trump. There's not a single honest thing about her.
Mm-hmm.
So you take all that into context. And then you take these muckraker pack guys in, and they got everything right on mm-hmm. Cawthorne, and they showed they understand politics
right.
because they did it all slowly, drip, mm-hmm. drip, drip, because you drop it all,
it's
a news story for a few days and gone.
Right.
They kept doing it. And then I read and looked into, you know, and there's others who've been doing this sort of whole explore talent thing,
mm-hmm.
which you may or may not be familiar
with. Yeah, I am.
It's just, It's going to come out at some point. First of all, it was started by an Israeli pornographer, right? So that tells you something. And it was like Facebook for aspiring, you know, low level, you know, people who had no skills and often no college degree went, but wanted to be models or actresses, or, and there's a few men in there too, actors. And like, when you start seeing patterns, the crazy lady who, you know, they made fun of on Saturday Night Live, who showed up, was in Michigan to testify, was drunk with Giuliani. Oh, yeah, right. She was on Explore Talent. Candace Owens was on Explore Talent. Tommy Lauren was on Explore Talent. Who am I missing? One of the top Project Veritas, you know, people was on Explore Talent, and so was Lauren Boebert.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at an analysis of somebody who you know, like a, I'm trying to remember who it was, a prostitutor who deals with prostitution cases and whatever. And he took a look at sort of some of those pictures, and if you take a look at them too, you'll have the human reaction of, this isn't somebody looking to model, okay? Because that's not what these pictures look like. But he, does this for a living, and I wish I could remember his name, was an expert, was like, not all of them, right? The Candace Owens one was more innocent, or in a few of them, and trust me, I hate giving any credit to Candace Owens, just to show you I'm being objective here. But he pointed out, he said the ones by Lauren Boebert and the drunk one who was testifying at the thing with Giuliani, and there was a third one who was a big name. He picked three of them, and he's like, I don't think it was Tommy Lauren either. It was a third one. He was like, these three are exactly like the types of pictures I see on high-class escort sites. Wow. These are not modeling pictures. These are pictures to have men pay for you to go out on dates and then do your thing with them.
So
all the evidence fits, is what I'm saying.
Right.
It reminds me so much of Sarah Palin, who was desperate to be famous and to be rich and would do anything, and then glommed on, you know, like there was a quote from her, I never forget, because she's a sports, first she became like a news personality locally, right, and did the sports and weather, and you know, she was quoted as saying, we need more glamour here, we need more whatever. She was thirsting always for fame and money. And these are the types that these far-right groups seem to be able to exploit. Dana Loesch, she would pitch, like, you know, I used to make fun of her because Dana would come back at me on Twitter, you know, over NRA gun stuff, and I'd be like, hey, has that Hot Mom sitcom you pitched been picked up yet? Because apparently that's what she did. She pitched a Hot Mom sitcom, and of course it was rejected like every other dumb idea of her, so she ended up doing, like, Beet Juice ads and became an NRA flunky, like... They're all these, you know, and they're men too. So I don't want to say, I mean, it's more women than men that I've come across, but it's men too. It's sort of these attractive people who are complete morons, who aren't going to ever make it in Hollywood, who don't have talent, but they have enough. They look good enough, and they're articulate enough that the right sees a use in recruiting them. And so, again, I throw everything I just said to you together, the whole pattern of behavior, the whole pattern of what Explore Talent is and all that, and what I would say is, you know, the abortion stuff, I have no idea whether she had two abortions or not, and that was written about. And again, I'd say two things on that. As somebody, by the way, who at one point was on the board of Planned Parenthood in Ohio and has worked with NARAL, that's probably the issue I've done the second most work on and passionate about outside of guns. So, like, I'm not somebody talking here who's like, oh, yeah, abortion, blah, blah, blah. You know, I believe in it passionately and whatever, and I believe in her right passionately. But I'm sorry, she's a fucking hypocrite.
Yeah.
So I believe in gay rights passionately, but Madison Cawthorn's a fucking hypocrite. So, to me, hypocrites don't deserve the benefit of the doubt, and they don't deserve any privacy because they've destroyed other people's lives. And so, But to me, that's not even the sort of crux of this. The crux of this is, like, do I look at all available evidence and think that she was a call girl or I don't know, whatever you want to say, an escort? And my answer is yes.
Yeah.
Do I have proof of that yet? Like, beyond reasonable doubt? No. I'm just saying, you know, from everything I've seen, I would absolutely believe it. And I was suspicious of it before any of this came out, just from those pictures that she had an Explore Talent, and just from knowing about Explore Talent and from knowing who she is and some of these videos she's done of herself where she's purposely worn really tight shirts and done these, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just the whole persona fits. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and so if I'm wrong, eventually I'll admit I was wrong. Like, I'm not telling you I know 100%. I'm telling you this is my opinion. I could be wrong.
Well, and it'll be interesting, too, to see, you know, what they're going to come out with next. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know, has she, she's a representative. She's not a senator. So she's going to be, has her primary already happened?
Nope, coming up.
Interesting. So I'm wondering then.
It's in a month. And this is what they did with Coughlin.
This is exactly it, yes.
6 weeks beforehand.
Yes.
Because these are people, whoever these people are, and I don't, for the life of me, I you know, maybe I do know them and I don't know, but I'm telling you, I don't know who they are. No one's told me. They get politics.
They do. Yeah, they get it.
I suspect they're people, again, patterns of behavior, going back to that, who have worked in politics before, who understand political media because they're starting it right about the right period of time ahead of an election and compounding one story after another, drip, 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 so it stays in the media and destroys her the way it destroyed Cawthorn. So my suspicion is that these are political pros, you know, who know what they're doing.
Wow, interesting. So now the last thing I'm going to ask you is, combined with the inevitable striking down Roe, which I imagine will be happening very soon, and then, you know, the gun debate, whether or not we get a watered down bill passed, or, you know, either way, gun debate, and then we've got these 1-6 hearings. How do you think these three issues are going to affect the midterms?
You know, I think that, I think Roe, I mean, assuming, and I'm going to assume that Roe's overturned, I think it's going to affect the midterms in a huge way, because that doesn't go away.
Right, exactly.
Right? It's just Roe's gone, okay, move on. There are going to be stories after that.
Yeah.
There are going to be numerous state legislatures passing insane laws to harm women, and then there are going to be numerous state legislatures in blue and purple states that have sane, ungerrymandered legislatures passing laws to protect women. And I think some of that is going to reach underground railroad status because some of the places like Texas and whatever trying to, I mean, these guys that accuse us of wanting a police state are now going to be asking women why they're leaving the state, for fuck's sake. You know, like, I think all of that is going to happen, but I think that, you know, I think that there will be cases, and sadly there will be tragedies, and there will be back alley abortions that lead to death, and there will be, you know, protests, and there will be God knows. So I think the Roe and the whole abortion issue, absolutely. Guns, I think so too, because I think, again, Newtown was one of those things where we crossed a certain Rubicon, and I'm not saying it can calm down, you know, sadly at some point, but once there's just, when it's little kids, when it's little babies, it's a different story. And Parkland was awful too, and it still was our children, but at least in that case, it still was high school kids. And again, trust me, I'm not trying to say how fucking Fred Gutenberg's a good friend of mine. I mean, it is, you know, again, I don't even like talking about it because what I would do to anybody who went near one of my kids. But this, they can't spin this away. And I think I've said many times, you take the Republican bill, as long as they don't, you know, they still now talk they can water it down. If they get rid of the few good things that are in there, then fuck them.
Right.
My whole thing on guns, just like abortion rights, everything is in any public health, you know, measure is saving lives. And so right now, we worked for years when I did work, you know, I did work as a consultant. My first client ever was Everytown for Gun Safety. I worked with the Brady Campaign. I worked with other groups. And the dating loophole, as it's called, is, which we could, you got some states to ban it, couldn't get it federally banned, which is, if you commit an act of domestic violence, you're convicted, you lose your gun, right? But domestic violence is defined as one of three things. You're married to somebody, you have a child with somebody, or you're living with them. So when it came to just you dating somebody, and none of the others are true, go right back and get your gun again.
Yeah.
That, as we know, with the whatever this problem is with men's mentality, you know, if we can ever figure that out, who stalk women, they're obsessed with women, you know, this pathology, that part, if that stays in the bill and we're able to close that loophole, that will save a lot of lives. Mm-hmm. We've never had a federal anti-gun trafficking law. In fact, most people don't know, but after Newtown, again, I was working on that stuff then, people only know about the background checks bill, for the most part, that we passed, where we had 55 votes, and then Mitch McConnell filibustered it. And so something that had a majority Senate vote and would have had a majority in the House, we could not pass. That would have been incredibly important because we needed 60 in this fucking ridiculous situation system of ours. There was a second bill that also had a majority of votes, and that was an anti-federal gun trafficking bill. And the reason why that is important is only some states enforce this and give a shit about this. So let's say it's Cliff and Kimberly, and Cliff is on the list of is a felon. And I am on a list where I cannot buy a gun. Kimberly goes into a gun store, buys a gun, comes out, sells it to me at the same price. You have just committed, you've just trafficked guns. Because mm-hmm. you know yeah. that I'm not supposed to have a gun. Well, if that causes, I can't say the amount, it just gets around any the prohibitions we have. That is in this bill, too, and we have needed that forever. So to me, just those two things, there's some other measures, too, like longer waiting periods and more strict background checks, including stuff from their youth of people between 18 and 21. I mean, again, if you save 20 lives, you've saved 20 lives.
Right,
and if that, one of those 20 lives is your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister, you'll be glad. So we pass, if they keep any of the stuff that helps, we pass it. But my big thing about Democrats is, and I'm sorry if I'm taking too long here and you want to, but to finish up my thought, I have a big mouth, I apologize.
That's why I love you.
Thank you. The simple fact is that you do what Republicans do, right? What they did with infrastructure. They passed an infrastructure bill because Mitch McConnell decided that was good for Republicans in key districts. And the next day they were calling us socialists and baby killers.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like, the thing I can't stand about us is we think we can't walk and chew gum. We can't have two different thoughts in our head. Either we're working with Republicans and then we're referring to Mitch McConnell as reasonable, which honestly to me is the worst thing Joe Biden has ever said.
I agree. Yeah.
Of every single thing that's ever come out of his mouth, referring this guy that we were trying to point out as an extremist who's destroyed our Senate and paved the way for Trump, and you refer to him as reasonable. And by the way, I wrote ads for Biden. So, back, I don't work for him now. I don't do anything, but I wrote. So, this critique comes from somebody, comes quite honestly. What you do is, if they keep the good provisions in there, you go in there and you vote for that bill. And the next day, you remind people that universal background checks and that assault weapons ban, and that would really protect and save our babies, and that more of our kids are still going to die because the Republican Party still puts the NRA and its militia base, and its selfishness and its cult ahead of us. Fuck them. Mm-hmm. You don't need to say nice things about them because you vote with them.
No, you and don't. So no. Say. Yeah, and I totally agree, and I wish
for the bill,
you would stop.
Save the lives that it will save, and then the next day go right back to going after these motherfuckers.
Yeah, and that the thing is that that's an effective strategy. And sometimes when I see people saying Democrats need to get down and dirty, they don't need to do what the Republicans are doing, because once they start doing what the Republicans are doing, then they basically become Republicans, and the Americans experiment fails. But if they do just little things like you're suggesting and not call them reasonable and not say there are our friends across the aisle, when they won't get rid of Matt Gaetz, when they won't get rid of some of these people who are horrible and abhorrent and deplorable, we don't have to do that. Being the adult in the room doesn't mean we always have to be nice. It means we have to be truthful. And unfortunately, there are just too many people who don't understand that particular nuance, and it drives me crazy. But
you can do both.
You can do both.
In the room, you want to be the adult in the room, not the enabler.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Vote for the good shit they'll vote for that will save people's lives, that will give people health care, that might combat climate change, whatever the issue is. Vote for it if they're on the right. The infrastructure bill. Mm-hmm. That was a great bill to vote for. There are two bridges that are structurally unsound, which I refuse to drive over near me here. They're now being fixed, and they weren't. Okay, so vote for that stuff, but don't start pretending that this is a group of normal people. You can do both.
And I think Democrats fear we should say something nice about it or they won't work with us again. They didn't work with Democrats because they were being nice. It's like you said, they saw their own benefit So they had their own benefit, and they're going to do it again when they see a benefit for them.
When Mitch McConnell sees it, they all are they literally are pathetic. He owns almost all of them, with the exception of a few. And when he sees it in the benefit of his caucus to his majority, you know, to his potential for winning a majority, he will do it. And that's, you know, or at least stopping negative press like they would take from doing nothing on guns. You take that, and then you make sure they still get the negative press and beat the shit out of them.
Exactly. Again, and you can totally do that.
I do want to say one quick thing, because you had mentioned not becoming like them. You know, like one of the slogans that I, you know, I throw out there all the time is that we're, no, absolutely you don't become like them. What I want us to do is I want us to, as passionately and as you know, often, as passionately as, I'm not finding the right second word for this, but but in as many places as possible, on as much media as possible, I want us to tell the truth about them as they lie about us. Mm-hmm. In other words, we should be as passionate, and we should be fight as hard to tell the truth about who they are as they do to lie about who we are. That's how we get our message across. That's how we win. That's how we don't become them. Mm-hmm. And that still allows us to pass legislation that saves lives.
Yes, it does. And so those three topics, do you think they are going to be what saves democracy for 2022?
You said guns, abortion, is the third one, January
and the
6th?
1-6, yes.
I think they are going to be. I think that we need to broaden the critique of the Republican brand party ideology to include an attack on them economically.
Yeah.
Because they're using
this
bullshit inflation thing, and we're letting them get away with it, and they're using other things to try to attack us when we have historically low unemployment, when Biden's had incredible jobs numbers, when we rebounded from their sluggish economy because they decided they would rather demagogue and get shots in people's arms so people couldn't leave their homes. Biden brought us back. This is a story that frustrates the fuck out of me that we should be telling every day. So it's pretty simple. This is what Democrats did for you, everything I just said. And Republicans, you can't trust them because you know what? They just care about themselves.
Yes.
The same way they only care about the NRA and their militia buddies on guns. The same way they only care about their religious nuts on abortion. And it's the same way they only care about their elites on the economy. They will fuck you every chance they
get.
And they will help the people who they care about, who give them power and money. It's a pretty easy message. It's a way to create a narrative that it happens to be true. And it allows you to bring the economic message in, too, so you can fight them on that. So these three things, here's what I'll say. These three things are a key part of us stopping them in 2022, but we absolutely have to work in the economic message to join those three messages.
I wish you could just run everything.
It's consistent with them.
You need to be running the show. Not maybe.
Well,
I mean,
what's
frustrating
is there are people there that get this.
Yeah, I know.
You know. I don't think I'm some genius. I don't really understand why this is so hard.
It isn't.
Why? I honestly think, and again, I just had to say this, and I don't care anymore. You know, like at some point, you just have to be honest. And this is my democracy. So, if people want to call me ageist or whatever, you go right ahead. But at this point, we're being run for the most part, and particularly, you know, in Congress. I'm talking about right now. This is the off-year election, so we're not discussing Biden. We can have that conversation later. Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi, who's been one of the best legislative leaders in the history of the, but she is not a communicator, and Steny Hoyer and whatever, these, you know, Chuck Schumer, these are people in their late 70s and 80s that not only do they not understand what they're up against, apparently they have the personalities where they don't seem to have the ability to fucking take a bite out of the other side and say the kinds of things we've said on this show. They don't understand new tactics and social media and newer things. I need Ruben Gallego. I need the guy who, when Ted Cruz responded on Twitter, more gun laws won't help. He's like, he responded, "You fucking baby killer." That's what Ruben Gallego wrote, congressman from Arizona, who's, I think, in his early 40s. That's my guy.
Eric and Swalwell. Yeah, that's Swalwell. Exactly. Yeah.
Katie Porter. That's my gal. Cory Booker. I want people who are 40-somethings, 50-somethings, who are Gen X and millennials, who understand the atmosphere of the current moment we're in, who know how to communicate in it, who aren't scared to say, who aren't used to these teas and coffees they used to have 30 years ago and still think they're in a debating society, and know how to, and if we can do that, if we can, it doesn't need to be me or whatever, if we can elevate some of the people we have there and let them, I say this, you'll see me saying this on Twitter all the time, Like, I just got to a point where I'm like, I don't care if I lose business or I piss off people, or I just don't care anymore because my country is too important to me. Mm-hmm. That Ruben Gallego, Eric Swalwell, these are the people we need leading the messaging and the strategy and the tactics. And if we can do that, I think we can win. If we stick to this bullshit we're sticking to right now, this sort of half measures and, oh, we're being too mean to them, mm-hmm. we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%, and I'm always grateful to hear your takes. You've got some great takes, and your fucking takedowns are awesome. So that brings me to, before I let you go and include once again your YouTube channel, tell everybody where to find you.
All right. Well, thank you, by the way. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for the kind words. It's very simple. It's www.youtube.com/, and then it's just my first initial of my first name, so C as in Cliff, and then my last name, which is spelled a little funkily because of the boat over here, we chucked some letters overboard, but so it's C, my first initial, and then S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. That is C-S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R. You will find me. Please subscribe. It's been growing quickly, and I would love if it could grow to the point where it could have an impact on this election. So.
Yeah, me too. And you can also, your Twitter is your name, Cliff Schechter.
Yeah, and Cliff Schechter. You can also find me at Cliff Schechter on Twitter. Please come and follow, because obviously, I do a lot there too. So that would be a great other place to find me.
Now, I've put both of these links in the Patreon description of the show. If you're listening to Apple or Stitcher or anything, you can go over to my Patreon page and you can click on the link and you're automatically going to go to Cliff's channels. But don't forget, you could also become my patron. So there's that. I'm also...
You should. because Kimberly's at one of the best podcasts in the world. And you know, it's true. You
the
talk
best
about
in the world.
Issues people need to hear. You're not scared of bringing up stuff that's uncomfortable for certain people on our side. We need you.
Well, I appreciate it. And you can find me also on Twitter, author Kimberly, L-E-Y. Don't forget the extra E at the end of my name. Thanks, Mom, for making things more confusing. my books are on Twitter. Thank you, Cliff. My books are on Twitter. My books are on Amazon. So there you go. I'm just not feeling that great today. So thank you, Cliff, so much for your time.
Thank you. Sorry I kept you so long.
No. Thank you.
Feel better. Get some rest.
I will. All right. You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.